We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Your podcast home of the Utah State Aggies. This is another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast with Scott Girard from Learfield IMG College.
Hey, welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I am Scott Girard. Hope you are well. Hope you had a good 4th of July week. Took the week off on the podcast, but we're back at it. And as promised, we will continue our preview series, a little out of order here. In fact, way out of order. Going all the way to Boise State, Bob Beeler, he's the play-by-play voice of the Boise State Broncos. Great voice of the Broncos, has been doing it for 11 years. Kind enough to take a few moments out of his summer to break down the Boise State Broncos. We have a conversation with him in which we talk about what to expect from Boise State this year. A lot of turnover on that roster. Alexander Madison is gone. Of course, quarterback's gone. Rippon, who'd been there forever. It seemed like finally need to replace him. They do bring back a good offensive line, good group of receivers, really good on the defensive line. But now Boise State's really in an interesting situation because much like Utah State, they get the, I don't want to be careful how I say this because there's always a team that comes out of nowhere that surprises people. But if you look at the schedule, Boise State gets that favorable schedule that Utah State got last year. Utah State didn't have to play Fresno. They didn't have to play Nevada. They didn't have to play San Diego State out of the other division. However, Utah State gets those teams this year. Boise State now gets to play San Jose State. They now get to play Hawaii. So it gets a little bit easier for Boise State in terms of their schedule. But frankly, let's be honest here. There were probably some teams last year that saw Utah State on the schedule coming into the season and thought, okay, that might be an easy W, and obviously Utah State went on to have one of the best seasons they've ever had at 11-2 and picked up a lot of wins against teams that may have thought that Utah State would have been a W on their schedule. So things always kind of find a way to work out, but Utah State certainly has their work cut out for them this season. So here's our conversation with Bob Beeler. He's the play-by-play voice of the Boise State Broncos on the Aggies All the Way podcast from Learfield IMG College. Bob Beeler, kind enough to join us as we continue on here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. Let's talk a little bit about quarterback play. And I think it's really interesting when you look at the quarterback play at Boise State, when you hit on those freshmen and they play really well, that's a nice safety blanket to have for a few years. But boy, when it's gone, that's tough to rebuild. So what's that process going to be like? And what was spring like as far as the quarterback play goes, and how do you foresee things going into fall?
Well, the guy who has the most experience and the guy that I think most people would have thought would be the quarterback before he got hurt in October is Chase Cord, the redshirt sophomore quarterback. He played a little bit, last year, but not a lot. And I think that, you know, he's a guy with his experience that a lot of people thought he would be the quarterback. There is a junior college transfer who played sparingly last year, senior this year, by the name of Jalen Henderson, who probably looked the most polished. Again, Cord did not compete during the spring. And then they brought in two true freshmen that came in early, one of them Hank Bachmeyer and the other Caden Bennett, both from the state of California, both with very good high school credentials. And you could see at times they were really good. And at times you could also see that, you know, they just lacked experience. You know, maybe, you know, they'd make three good throws and then they'd throw a bad one. So I think there's a lot of different possibilities at quarterback. The one thing for sure, Brett Rippon's playing with the Denver Broncos after starting for four seasons. So like you said, Kellen Moore started for four. Brett Rippon started for four. Joe Southwick and Grant Hedrick have been the other starters in my time. I've been here 11 years, but 8 years have been covered by two starting quarterbacks. And then the other 3 years were basically split a year and a half for both Hedrick and Southwick. So you're right about Boise State. When the quarterback gets in there, somebody at least lately has stayed for a long time.
Coach Harsin, I mean, the guy plays no favorites. And it doesn't matter what you did in high school. It doesn't matter what you did at JC or whatever college you transferred from. Everybody's equal. And it seems like that's probably an appealing thing for a lot of recruits out there.
Well, I think that, you know, you're going to look at, they're going to play whatever they think. I mean, a couple years ago, Rippon and Cozart split time for part of the season. And they got the best out of both of them. So I think, you know, this is a very imaginative coaching staff, and they're going to find the way to get the best out of whomever the starting quarterback is. I mean, you know, they might start more than one. I mean, especially if maybe Cord isn't ready to go to start the season, you know, maybe he starts a little later in the season, or maybe whoever gets it never turns it away. Somebody's going to have to face a pretty tough challenge for the first start Labor Day weekend down in Jacksonville, Florida against Florida State. I know Florida State hasn't been as good lately as, you know, when you and I think of Florida State, you know, especially back in the Bowden years where they're like a top five team, you know, all the time. I don't think they're a top five team, but they're still going to have a lot of athletes. They're still going to be good. And it's going to be a tough spot for, you know, whatever quarterback's making their first career start.
Saw this stat and it jumped out at me. Boise has produced a 1,000-yard rusher for 10 straight seasons. Mm-hmm. Is Van Buren going to keep that rolling this year?
Well, it could be him. It could be Robert Mahone. They've got a couple of freshmen that are coming in as well, Helani and Duncan. So we'll see. If I'm going to guess, and again, just because we really haven't seen like an heir apparent, my guess is that it's going to be much more of a running back by committee, where in the last several years there's been, you know, a big dog that they've ridden throughout the course of the year, you know, rushing for like 1,500 yards, you know, guys like Jay Ajayi and then, you know, Jeremy McNichols and, of course, Alexander Madison, you know, the last three starting running backs for Boise State. Maybe by, you know, the middle of the season, maybe somebody will, you know, develop and be the guy. But, you know, I don't know if somebody is going to be experienced enough and ready enough to take that from the start of the season.
Keegan Duncan went to my high school that I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. So if that kid ends up blowing up as a freshman, there's going to be 300 diehard fans from Declo, Idaho. They're going to lose their minds over that.
And I'll have him wave when he gets that third touchdown against Utah State to you in the booth. How about that?
Oh, see that. Okay. That's cold, Bob. That's pretty messed up.
No, I mean, I know they're very high on him. I know they're very high. I mean, you know, it's just so hard to evaluate anybody that hasn't played. And I don't mean just freshmen that have never played. You've got a lot of guys on the roster that, you know, every year, you know, you lose however many seniors you have, and most of them play, you know, pretty significant roles. I don't mean just at Boise State, but I just mean in general college football. So you have a lot of redshirt freshmen that look like they've got potential. You probably have a lot of even sophomores and juniors, you know, that have been backups or really haven't had a chance to play, that all of a sudden they get their moment. And then they're, you know, they're in the game and, you know, you play well and you'll get more playing time. And, you know, it's one of those things that at this time of the season, that's why I love reading those magazines. Whenever I'm traveling on an airplane in the summer on vacation, I love listening and reading and seeing what they, you know, what they claim, you know, who's going to win or what, you know, who's going to start. And then I like looking back at the end of the season and see who they missed the boat on.
Offensive line seems to be a strength, though, coming back this year.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you've got five starters back and it was a good line last year, I'd like to think that they could take the next step. Not only do you have five starters back, but you've got three seniors in the middle, the two guards in the center. You've got a left tackle who is really good, all-conference in Ezra Cleveland. And then I thought the line really kind of took off when John Ajukwu, last year was a redshirt freshman, was inserted at right tackle. Not to say that, you know, you're going to have that same line play, you know, all 12 games in the regular season, you know, maybe the playoff game and then the, you know, the bowl game. But, boy, it's nice to start with an offensive line that, you know, they know each other, run blocking, pass blocking. You know, if you've got a new quarterback, which Boise State is definitely going to have, and you have running backs that are, you know, not going to be that experienced, sure helps if your line is good. I mean, I've always said this, Scott, that, you know, a good offensive line can make an average back look pretty good.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, the holes make a big difference. And, you know, if we got a really good line, Scott, maybe you and I can even eke out a couple of yards if we're running the ball.
I'd say maybe a yard. You far more than me, but maybe a yard, maybe two, behind those big uglies, no doubt about it. Bob Beeler, kind enough to join us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Boise State Broncos. Bob, you've done the play-by-play thing for a long time, 11 years at Boise State. You're back east a little bit. What's life like for you in the Mountain West Conference, and what are your thoughts when you think of this conference and the strengths that it brings to the table and what you've been able to witness over the last decade?
Well, I think, you know, in 11 years I've been here, first few years we were in the WAC. The Mountain West is definitely a step up from that. I think that the biggest thing that I've noticed, especially in the Mountain Division, is that you've got six teams on the mountainside that all care. And what I mean, all care, their fan bases care, their administrations care. They have, you know, new facilities, new press boxes, new so much, you know, that they're, everybody's trying to make things go with facilities. And I just think that the league is so much better than people give it credit for. I didn't realize until last year that the Mountain West was rated higher than the American.
Yeah.
The American trumpets itself with, you know, UCF and, you know, the various teams that they've had that have been pretty good. But when you added it up last year, you added up all the teams and compared all the teams and put the computers in, the Mountain West came out ahead of the American. And I think that sometimes maybe people don't give the conference enough credit. San Diego and Fresno State, Nevada have had some good teams on the western side. You know, if you could get, you know, UNLV and Hawaii and San Jose State to become a little more competitive and, you know, I think that the league is good. I think that, you know, there's getting to be some more familiarity. Boise State, Utah State, Nevada had all played each other, you know, in the WAC. Fresno State was in that conference. And then you had the teams like Wyoming and Colorado State Air Force. That group that was over on the in the Mountain West at the time, I think some of the teams are becoming more familiar, more rivals with each of the teams. But, you know, I think it's a better league than people think, and there's usually a lot of outstanding talent to watch as well. So the highest level that I've worked at when I was in the East, I called FCS football 13 years at Bucknell and 9 years at UMass before coming to Boise State. So there have been some, you know, as I say, a lot of good times at Boise State. I've been blessed because the Broncos, you know, a 9-win season is viewed as not that good.
Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up I grew up in Southern Idaho, and my dad was a professor at the University of Idaho at an extension down in Southern Idaho. So we grew up Vandal fans. And when I graduated high school, this would have been in 95. So the 94 season, my senior year, Boise State beat Idaho. And that was the first time in like 10 or 11 years that Boise had beaten Idaho. Like nobody even thought the Boise State would ever amount to anything with any kind of continued success. And this is at the FCS level, then the 1AA, let alone making the jump to 1A and becoming the powerhouse that they are. But what are expectations like year in and year out? Because it just seems like, as you mentioned, 9 wins, that's not a great year for Boise State fans.
I think, you know, when you look at the, you know, the sign in the team room, you know, win a conference championship, win a bowl game. And I think that, you know, not to say that you expect to win the league every year, but I think that that's an expectation. If you come to Boise State, you believe you're going to be playing for championships and you're going to be playing in bowl games. And I just look at the, you know, the years that Boise State, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, conference championships, bowl games. I mean, this is a program that has been consistent. And I think maybe the biggest thing has been consistent even going further back. I mean, they've won basically, you know, they've won at the FCS level. They've won at the, you know, in the Big West. They've won in the WAC. So, you know, I think it's as much of a program. And I don't mean just a program with the coaches. I'm talking about a program with the school, with the town, with the state. People, you know, I think everybody expects, you know, not to say that, you know, you should win every single year in the league. But I think that if you look yourself in the mirror and say, can we win the league? I think most years, Boise State should feel, you know, they should be there fighting for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, November can't get here soon enough. I know there's a lot of Utah State fans that want to see a rematch in Logan, and hopefully same thing applies this year, that there's a lot on the line going into that game, because as we mentioned, that game last year was a really fun game, and we'd love to see a rematch with a lot on the line going into this one.
Well, I would be surprised if it's not. I mean, I think, you know, with Jordan Love back for you guys and the people you have, and you know, Gary Anderson coming back. I mean, how many times do you lose a coach and then you're able to find somebody that is as experienced, maybe even more experienced as a coach. So that helps you out there. And, you know, both teams have, you know, been good. So I would be surprised if that game, the next to the last regular season, I'm kind of surprised it's not the last game.
I know.
We've done it a few times, and I thought maybe the league was going to move to something, you know, kind of like, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, or, you know, some of the other leagues, you know, where, you know, Auburn and Alabama play at the end, where, you know, they wouldn't set it up so that at the end of the season, you know, Boise State and Utah State are going to play each other in the final game.
Based on basketball and football and the history between the two teams, is there a good health? I mean, because obviously Utah State fans want to get a bite out of Boise State. What's the Boise State feel towards Utah State?
I think they, you know, they've played them over the years. I think that, you know, you look at, you know, when I mean played them over the years, I mean, not just football, but basketball as well. You know, it's really the only team in the league that you can drive to, you know, with a decent, you know, you can drive maybe to Reno or drive to some of the other ones, but, you know, it's about a 4.5-hour trip down there. So it's not bad. And I think that, you know, prompts people to come. No, I think people have enjoyed the series with Utah State. And when you talk to people because of the proximity and the, you know, the quality of the games, you know, I think the longer the games get played between one another and the fact that they become meaningful and are entertaining, you know, over the years, I think that the rivalry is going to get even bigger and bigger if every year at the, you know, November 23rd or 30th, whenever the game is, you know, if the winner is going to end up winning the Mountain Division or having a chance to win it, I think that it's going to become even more popular of a game to have on the schedule than it has been in the past.
Bob, always a pleasure to catch up with you. I look forward to seeing you in Vegas here in a couple of weeks, and really look forward to seeing you in November when these two teams do battle.
Absolutely. Always looking forward to coming down there. It's a great atmosphere in Logan, as it is in Boise, and obviously that's the case just not only in football but in basketball as well. So I think we should have a couple of good meetings between Boise State and Utah State on the hardwood and on the gridiron as well.
So there you go. Big thanks to Bob Beeler, play-by-play voice of the Boise State Broncos here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. Now, just to set the schedule of things coming up, in about 2 weeks, we will be down in Las Vegas at the Mountain West Conference Media Day, where we'll have a chance to chat with all the coaches, a couple of the players from each team as well. Also, I'm sure we'll have a chance to chat with the commissioner of the Mountain West Conference, Craig Thompson. All of that sound we're going to make available for you here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. So get ready. We're going to get you a lot of sound, a lot of content in the next couple of weeks. We'll continue with the preview schedule as well. And really, you'll get a chance to hear from all the coaches and some of the key players coming up here in a couple of weeks at Mountain West Conference Media Day. Until then, I'm Scott Girard. Thanks for listening. This is the Aggies All the Way podcast from Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.